Everybody, this week on Three Sides of the Coin, it's sort of a grab bag of topics we start off with. What do we think of the new Ace Frehley set list? And that segues into the new Motley Crue single
The Gene Simmons set list.
and the Gene Simmons set list. And then we kind of end with a little discussion on the Bon Jovi documentary and what are we listening to lately? Old music, new music, what are we enjoying?
And we forgot a homework question. Are you listening to Kiss less or more now, or about the
There you
same?
go. That's it. Now that the End of the Road tour is done, has your listening frequency changed when it comes to Kiss?
Visit threesidesofthecoin.com. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate your support. You looking for official Three Sides of the Coin merchandise? T-shirts, hoodies, and more? Visit shop3sidesofthecoin.com. We ship worldwide.
Hey, Three Sides of the Coin. You got Mike, you got Tommy, and Mark. He showed up. He
2 weeks in a
He's
row,
here.
man.
Yeah. What, you want a cookie for 2 weeks in a row?
Look out.
Or
And by the way,
meatloaf?
yes, I do want a
No,
cookie.
he would
I
like a
want a
cookie.
Coke with light ice and a
and maybe.
linguine with clam sauce, a Coke with no ice.
Did you see the video we made?
Huh?
Okay, so
Oh, you
yes, and
Kyle.
Kyle. Yes, I
Okay.
saw that. I was like, oh, that's classic.
I'll send it to you, Mark. So when we were on Record Store Day, my friend Johnny, who owns Hi-Fi Hair, has a Debbie Harry stand-up, and so we recreated the scene. Kyle was Damone?
Damone, and I was Rat. It was
Nice.
fantastic. I know
And
you guys were perfect. You guys were perfect. Just to, if you're only watching us because of our brilliant guest interviews, leave, because there's no guests that we're going to be interviewing today. So go, okay? And believe me, it is of no insult to us if you don't want to watch. Okay? There we go. So, we would usually start with discussing KISS news and KISS current events, but there's jack shit happening in the world of
Well,
KISS at
that's not
this point in time.
true. Jeans tour
Well,
and
sure,
Jeans
it
comment. People are
the
wondering
band
if,
KISS.
yeah, but look, we gotta work with what the hand we're here wanting to
What
get.
we
Play the
got?
hand you're dealt. Yes.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Jeans band sounds great. Gene made that. I wonder because Mike, especially back in the 90s, Gene and Paul used to take pokes at one another. And
Oh, it's definitely always been, people, a love-hate relationship between Gene and Paul. Always. And it's not a bad thing. That's what made KISS kind of work, is the yin and the yang, and they had respect and understanding. And but I know what you're getting at. They would always try one-upmanships on each other. Who's doing better, who's doing first, who's doing what?
look, go back. If you're Paul Stanley, and I've said this on the show before, I mean, this is how long this is. The first big single, Rock and Roll Night, right? Gene sings it. The next single, big single, and I'm talking big singles, Beth, Peter sings it. Next big single, it depending on which came, I don't remember. And someone's going to scream. No. Calling Dr. Love, Gene, and then Hard Luck Woman, Peter sings it, but Paul wrote it. That had to have been frustrating that you're the one who wrote the song and you let one of your band members sing it. I mean, think about before Paul really had a hit single. And that was really until I Was Made for Loving You. I mean, so don't think there wasn't competition back then. I think the the stuff that came about, and there's a very famous video. And again, I believe if you're watching the show, you know, the one from around 94, 95, where
is that the one at Disney?
Yes.
Yes.
Where, you know, Paul's taking pot shots at Gene, and Gene tells the videographer, stop, because right. I'm not putting up with this shit. Fast forward to today, you know, where I just thought when I saw that, I'm like, oh man, you know, this is 100% live, no tapes, no. Look, I get it, but I don't know. I just kind of
was it needed? I mean, yeah. You know, what was the underlying purpose there? I mean, yeah, I mean, it all stuff like that always reminds me of the, and I've mentioned this many times in the past, at the American Bandstand 50th anniversary taping, and I interviewed Paul. I'm pretty sure it was before the performance, but I can't remember for sure. But I went down into his dressing room just for a quick 5 minute. When I was working with them, it wasn't like I would sit down for an hour. I just would like try and get a quick 5-10 minutes with Gene or Paul or whoever at what they were doing, something to put up on the website. And I also always knew, listen, you know, you're going to always, 90% of the time, you're going to get the same canned answer. We know that. Every Kiss fan knows that. But every once in a while, I would try and throw in a question that, you know, maybe I'll get lucky and somebody will open up about something. So at that interview at the American Bandstand 50th, I asked Paul, what do you think about, because this was a period of time where Gene and Paul were kind of like this, because this was Gene doing Gene Simmons tongue everything, tongue magazine, clothing, you name it. I mean, Gene was focused on Gene and doing all of his side projects. And I asked Paul straight up, I go, what do you think of Gene doing all these side projects? And his answer was short to the point. I've read this book and I know how it ends. And I was just like, you know, I didn't say anything immediately, but I could imagine my jaw kind of dropped a little bit, like, oh, I got that answer that I wasn't expecting out of Paul. It wasn't the diplomatic answer of being nice. It was all being honest. And then I followed it up and I go, Paul, do you want me to post that answer on Kiss Online? He said, yes. And I was just like, okay, I didn't start this fight. I didn't start the battle. But okay, if the boss says post this, it's going up. And, I never heard anything after that. But I don't know, did Paul maybe hear something from Gene, or did Gene talk to Doc and Doc talk to Paul? Because back then, that's what how it was going on was, I would email both Gene and Paul something, and then Gene would email me a response back, but not CC Paul. And then I would email Paul, and Paul would email me, but not CC Gene. And it was just like this passive aggressive avoiding conflict between each other. And it was like, well, Paul was like, well, if Gene is okay with it, I'm okay with it. And Gene is like, well, if Paul's okay with it, I'm okay with it. And I'm like, okay, nobody said they're okay with it. What do I do? It was just like driving me nuts. There were a couple times I finally was just like, I emailed Doc and I go, Doc, what do I do? They're not talking to me together. They're not talking to each other. They're not giving me answers. I don't know what to do. But you're right, Mark. I mean, that's always been there. I'm just using my own gut. I imagine at this point in their career, they don't care anymore about that stuff. No.
Paul's basically come up with his own comeuppance, if you want, with his art, which is done very well.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about the man and his art, and you know, he does very well for himself. And you know, rightfully so, he should be doing all those things, you know, doing the galleries and stuff, because people want it. I mean, look, again, those things sell. He does well, and he should be proud of it, you know, especially as they get older. However, now this is something, you know, we, again, this is a topic we've talked about before, but I think yesterday the new Deep Purple single dropped. And I, the whole reason I bring it up is because these guys are even older than Kiss. Yep. Multiple members. Matter of fact, the only original member is Ian Paice. For those of you who think, well, yeah, but Ian Gillan sing. Ian Gillan wasn't the original singer, you know. So, but the fact that a band even older than Kiss, who are touring, by the way, are still releasing new music. Matter of fact, the Stones tour started, I think, last night or the night before last, yep, in Houston. And they played a couple new tunes off their latest record as well. And I got to tell you, as a Kiss fan, I want my band to do that.
Yeah, we've talked about that. It's disappointing. It's sad. You know, and as a fan, we're never going to know why until, honestly, in my opinion, until Paul sits down and does a very tell-all, open-up, honest interview.
Well, yeah,
about,
I think he was
about,
honest.
About this end, about why, how come, you know. And I think that will come eventually. I kind of feel like right now Paul is just enjoying being away from that whole Kiss machine, everything
well, you know,
that's related to Kiss.
Yeah. I personally asked Paul on the Kiss cruise at a Paul Stanley event. And, you know, and you guys have all heard this before. He said it publicly, not just on that event. He's like, you know, if we release new music, people still want to hear Love Gun. They, you know, it's going to be a bathroom break. I always found that as a defeatist sort of attitude, you know.
Yeah.
I prefer the movie The Natural, Make It and They Will Come, you know. That would be, to me,
Dreams.
A Field, is that it? Okay. Again, got my baseball movie screwed up. neither of which I've seen.
Anybody who knows me, never seen A League of Their Own?
No. Oh, I've seen that. There's no crying in baseball. Anyway, yeah, exactly. Put it this way. I get that rub from a lot of my close friends. The movies that I do know, I love. There's so many movies that I know, because Tommy's a big movie guy. There's so many times where Tommy's like, you've never seen that? I'm like, no. Nah. Just never got around. I just saw the Godfather within the last 3 years.
For the first time?
For the first time.
Oh, what the fuck, Mark?
It's all about your
heritage. You're revealing you all. Last week you revealed you were going to be a mortician. Now you reveal it's only within the last 3 years you finally watched The Godfather.
Hey, look.
I mean, what's next that we're going to hear from you?
How can you be a mortician and not watch The Godfather?
I always jokingly said I didn't have to watch it. I lived it.
Well,
okay, fair enough, but still,
Sonny gets killed on the causeway, and you know, Mark, you better know your shit because he's gonna be bleeding out of every hole
like Ebola.
Drop the gun, take the cannolis.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
it's an absolute classic movie that at least once a year I sort of binge at least, yeah. Godfather 1 and 2, sometimes I'll throw 3 in there,
but the third one has been re edited. Coda,
yes.
It's much better.
Never seen the second one, never seen the third one, just saw the first one. But put it this way, Liz is a Godfather junkie. Like, she, if it's on TV, she has to watch it.
Right.
And there's, well, you know, Tommy, it's funny because you made a comment on one of my Facebook posts, but it's true. I'll go upstairs and read. I'd rather just read. I've got at least 2 books going at one time. All the time. I got one upstairs, one downstairs, and I just rather read And that's
so it just, depends on where you're going to take a dump.
You know, Tommy, I'm really getting to the point where I'm wondering if we should have Liz as the host, not Mark.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she'd be a whole lot more entertaining, let me tell you.
Better to look at.
Better looking.
Yeah, that's true. It look all true. Anyways, also Kiss news. You know, Ace's tour is continuing on, and I do think we have to touch on the fact that you know, our former guest, friend of the show, Mr. Brown. Why is Ace playing Rock and Roll Night? I get it, but I'm just telling you, as a fan, I want more Ace. Well, I want Insane in the set. I want more Ace songs.
As
they're trying to book him in casinos.
Well, again, as Steve said, I get why he said it, and it makes sense. The venues, the promoters want the songs that the audience knows. You know, they people want it. They know Rock and Roll All Night. They know Love Gun. They know Shout It Out Loud. You want to play our venue? We want you to play those songs because that'll sell more tickets. I totally get that. But at the same time, I mean, I've said this so many times. It's like, Ace, I don't want to go to a Kiss concert if I'm going to go see Ace Frehley. You can play some Kiss songs. Cold Gin makes sense. You know, some of that.
Rocket Ride makes sense.
But Love Gun doesn't make sense. Rock and Roll All Night doesn't make sense. Even Shout It Out Loud doesn't make sense.
Not to me
at all, especially when you've got so many solo tracks that I would love to hear. But again, we're the diehards. We're, you know, the promoters want to sell, the easiest way to sell 500 tickets. All right, make it a mini Kiss show. I get it.
Here's a suggestion.
I just don't like it.
I have for, and this is just my opinion. I was thinking about this the other day. As you guys know, right now, Bret Michaels is touring, and I believe that Dee Snider's on that bill, and I think Lou Gramm.
Yep.
Why doesn't Ace take Peter with him and let Peter do 5 songs?
Unless Ace knows something we all don't know about touring with Peter, like the Bad Boys tour.
He doesn't have to play drums. He just has
Maybe it's just Peter's attitude. Maybe he just doesn't want to be around.
I'm just telling you, if you're going to play that many Kiss songs in the Ace camp, bring Peter along. It makes sense then.
Honestly, anything is better. Because when I saw that set list and I sent it to you guys, I was just, it was like, oh, Rock and Roll. This is just a freaking mini Kiss set. Really? I don't need to go see Ace do a mini Kiss set. I don't. Ace, for God's sake, learn how to play your 78 solo album from start to finish and do that on tour. People would go ballistic for that.
All I'm doing is, you know, I'm looking back now as a Kiss fan and going, these other bands are eating your lunch. And the guys who are doing so, I will tell you, I think everything that I saw on Jeans and I watched the show when I was doing paperwork, I had it on at work. Sounds great. Band sounds great. I thought it was weird that he did like I Was Made for Love. And I mean, you could tell it was a goof. The girl sang it and stuff. But, you know, it was still Gene's overall was more fun. I liked the fun vibe of it. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm still digging Ace. But I'm going to see Ace. I want more Ace. I guess that's.
I'm right there with you, Mark. I want more Ace. And if it's got to be more Ace, as in Ace Kiss tunes, you can find something other than Rock and Roll All Night and Love Gun.
Two Sides of the Coin. Torpedo
Dude,
Girl.
Anything like that. I know. Anything would make, you know, because here's what it is. You know, if you pull out a set list like that, then you get the fans talking for weeks about, oh my God, did you see the set list? There's no conversation around Ace's set list now. None. It's crickets out there about his set.
I still think it's the diehards going to his show. I don't think it's the casino people. And don't get me wrong. And it's something, Mike, again, there's actually a lot to talk about when you look at it like this. What's going on with the Guess Who? How does that pertain to this? It does pertain, because there's an example of what they had to do. Take the legalese out with Burton Cummings and everything. They're playing the hits. They have to, or no one would go see the Guess Who.
Sure.
Ace Frehley doesn't really have to. I think if he were to, again, if he wanted to play Kiss songs that were, you know, Ace Frehley written Kiss songs. And of course, I wouldn't have a problem. He threw one or two in, but, you know, what's next, Ace? You're going to play Lick It Up? I mean, you know what I mean?
No, you're 100% right, Mark. I mean, it's, if you got to do half a set of Kiss songs, get creative and do some Kiss songs that Kiss hasn't been doing, that the Kiss fans would be like, oh my God, did you see the Kiss tune that Ace pulled out? To your point, two sides of the coin. He's doing that. Oh my God, that's great. Okay, it's a Kiss song. And yes, I will also acknowledge that Ace's solo tracks, for the most part, are going to be very deep cuts for the average music fan, other than Rock Soldier and, you know, some of the but early bigger hits.
I still say most of the people there, most,
are going to be diehards.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
So I again, that's the difference between the Gene Simmons band and the Ace Frehley band. Gene can kind of more get away with that. And for what it's worth, Gene is more of a front man than Ace is. Gene can talk to a crowd and keep them entertained.
Yeah, he can control the show. He can run the show.
He's got the gift of gab. And again, that's no knock on Ace. And again, please, you know, support Ace. Buy the records, go to the shows. I get it. But, you know, you got to call a spade there, you know, and that's just it. Gene's solo band, I think, is just more fun. They're more loose because of, you know, the situation. Hell, they did what? I believe they did a Zeppelin tune as well.
And a Motorhead tune.
Did Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
Did a couple Gene Simmons solo songs. I just found that more appealing. And I wish Ace, you know, for as much as it's funny, because I'm not like a huge fan of the Cherry Madison song, dude, you did a sing, you released a video for it. That should be in your set.
Well, that's the other thing. You got a brand new album out that you are apparently loving this new album. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I mean, everything is, he loves this album, how it turned out. So how come you're only doing, what, 10,000 volts? I mean, pull three songs off of that, four songs off of the new album.
Four.
I mean, you know, here, Grandpa sitting on the patio here. Back in the day when a band would tour and they had a new album out, and even Kiss would do this, they would start that tour off with maybe four or five songs in the set list from the new album. Over the course of a tour, it'll get whittled down to the songs that are getting great response and working well. But he's not even trying that. He's not even trying that.
Yeah, that, again, that's the tale of two tours at the moment. And I'm happy that they're out. And like I said, you know, not to beat a dead horse, I would love to see Peter do something with Ace. Because the way Ace is touring these weekend gigs and stuff, especially the shows on the East Coast, even if Peter came out and did, like, if they wanted to do Rock and Roll All Night, have Peter come out, sing half of it, Ace could sing the other half. I was just thinking about this the other day when I was driving to work. I'm like, you know, they could do Strange Ways, which Ace wrote, but, you know, Peter sang. They could do Getaway, same thing, Ace wrote it. Peter saying maybe not the whole tour. I don't know Peter personally. I don't know his, you know, if he has got, I mean, these guys are getting up there, he's north of 75 years old. I know, though, that if they did, you know, the shows in the New York area and New Jersey area, spice it up, man. I just think that would have been a fun idea. And every day that you know, ticks by is one less day they're going to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ace Frehley fans, we want to hear Ace Frehley songs. We don't want to hear Kiss songs. That's simply what it comes down to. And I think I can say that with confidence that the vast majority of Ace Frehley fans would agree. If they were given the choice of going to an Ace Frehley show where he plays all Kiss songs or plays 50% Ace solo material, every Ace fan is going to go, I want the Ace solo material.
Sure.
That's what we want.
When do we
want
it?
I'm just saying.
Now.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Mike, not to hijack things too much, but there's another new music out. And if that's the way they got to do it, I like the new Motley song.
Me too.
Is it the greatest thing they've ever done? No, it doesn't have to be.
Why are so many people so sour on it? I don't get it.
Hold on. There's a segment of our audience. I hate to say it's Kiss fans. I don't care what comes out. They're going to hate it.
They're going to hate it.
It goes back to when I read these things about Monster and Sonic Boom. And I've said this again publicly on the show lots of times. The only people who don't like it didn't listen to it. They just wanted to hate it. There was so much of that. It's not even funny.
Oh,
because
no.
I'll tell you what, I've been on the Kiss cruise and I've been in Kiss situations where I've pressed people that go, oh, that album's sorry. I'm like, okay, well, I start talking to them about the music. I don't know. Well, and then this has happened so many times.
That bad of a song. And that's not that bad of a song. And I kind of enjoyed that track.
There's either that or, well, I only listened to it once. Well, you're making my point, man. You're making my fucking point for me.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing with Motley Crue. And I'll say this. I listened to the song. I didn't really like it. Am I going to go ballistic like freaking half the internet is doing right now? And no. I responded to somebody on some thread, wasn't on Three Sides, I don't think, about that. And I was just like, why would I? I didn't like it. I gave it a listen. I watched the video. It didn't click for me. Tommy, as you and I did that episode a couple weeks ago talking about people's opinions of other people's what they like and don't like, you know, it didn't cause me to sit here and go, okay, I want to play it again. I can't wait to play it again. I didn't have any of that. So what did I do? Just didn't listen again. Didn't watch it again. And I left all of the frickin' people that are having meltdowns over this. It's like, why would I waste? What am I wasting my time for talking to you? If you love it, God bless you. That's great. It didn't connect for me. And I would assume the same respect from the person that I'm saying, great. If you love it, great. Because I did talk to somebody that loved it. And I'm like, I didn't love it, but I'm not going to yell at you because you love it.
It doesn't make sense. Why does everything have to be love, hate?
I don't know. I sent John Five a message and said, I really like it. And because to me, and for clarification purposes, and I'll come right out and say this, and Mark, you're going to be like, oh God, I got to leave, but please don't. My favorite Motley Crue record is Saints of Los Angeles. I love that record. I love
it. So you know that we both love that.
Yeah.
That was the last Motley album that I did like, because it had, honestly, to me, it sounded like it had tones and throwbacks to the classic early Motley Crue going on in there. I enjoyed that.
It did, but stay with me, guys. So my point is this. I also really like 6 a.m. I think the band was fantastic. Those last two records, Prayer for the Blessed and Prayer for the Damned, love them. I listen to them all the time. So what I said to John is, I said, this sounds like a 6 a.m. record with Vince singing and you playing guitar. It's a modern sound. And if you listen to a lot of the bands that are out there now, they sound like this single. So I'm sure there's some amount of correlation between let's get on the radio, let's get some movement here with these songs, because it puts them in a better position when they're getting into festivals and getting the younger people who may not know anything other than Girls, Girls, Girls to go, wow, okay, this sounds to me like, I don't know, whomever in this newer rock genre. So if you think it's going to sound like Shout at the Devil, it's just not. Jack Douglas told me once, he said, look, Aerosmith couldn't write another rocks record if their life depended on it. And it's not because they aren't as good, if not better than how they were before, but they're different people.
They're different people.
And there's a shift. They can't make that sound again. For good or bad. And
Kiss can't do a Destroyer all over again. Cheap Trick can't do a Dream Police all over again. Motley Crue can't do a Shout all over again. You got to accept that, people. You have to accept that. And, you know, as an artist, Nikki and the guys in Motley, I'm sure they want to grow and express themselves in different... God bless them. That's their band and their right to do that. I mean, not everybody wants to be AC/DC and just record the same album over and over again.
Well, and if you were in...
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. You just go.
I was going to say, I thought Vince sounds really good on this. I mean, take away the song. Vince Neil, who struggled as of late, I don't know what they did, sounds good. He's singing well.
Well, I think it's because he's not doing anything. He's just standing there singing. I just think that it's almost like, anything you learn. It's like, okay, so I hear all of these local musicians and I was telling a good friend about this. I said, I'm not a guitar player, but even I can go in and listen to them play Pour Some Sugar on Me. And I'm like, the guy is just cutting corners. He's not playing the solo anywhere near correctly, and he's so used to doing it he doesn't know how to play it the other way. And I think there's a little bit of that with Vince. He's been singing the way he's been singing for so long and letting the audience sing and all that and getting away with it because no one's held him accountable, that's why you get what you get when it's live. But when he's in the studio and you've got producers and the band and other people going, no dude, you got to do better than this, it shows you what he's capable of. There's just no consistency.
Put it this way. Number one, John's guitar sound was when that song starts kicking off.
Yeah.
It's funny. My problem with it, again, that's how come I'm like, that's the whole thing. It's either love or hate. Do I think this is the greatest Motley song? No. Do I think it's the worst? No.
No.
But it's enjoyable. My only issue with it was kind of the same if you guys follow along here, what's the first song on Houses of the Holy, how the Zeppelin song there starts off really fast and then it goes down into the I had a dream. It's like, that's the problem I have with the song, because it starts off kind of hard rocking and then when Vince starts singing, it goes down. You know what I mean? It goes into a different sort of
tempo.
Yeah. And that kind of caught me for a loop, because I thought he was going to start singing along to that main riff where it was heavy and stuff. And I got to admit, the first time I heard it, I didn't know what to feel. I was just like, okay, well, I like some of it and it was okay. And I listened to it again. And I'm like, now I knew that part was, coming up, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, okay, all right. And then I started to like it. And I think it's the song remains the same. That was the song that I was thinking about. Zeppelin, if you remember, and then it goes into the part where I had a dream. And it's just, I'm like, because that's how I felt with this. I'm like, oh man, I wanted it to just keep rocking. But once you hear it, you're like, okay, well, now I hear what they're trying to do. And that's the way I am with the new Motley song. I like it. It doesn't suck. I think the performance is good. Again, I really like what John did. I like what Vince did. I like what they all did. That was a good song. Again,
I think Motley is in like the same boat as Kiss for the most part. People just want to hate. They just want to hate whatever they're going to do. And it, you know, because, you know, the excessive amount of ridiculous hate that I've seen out there. I mean, some people are literally claiming, honest to God, the entire song has no real human involvement. It's 100% AI. The lyrics were AI. The vocals are AI. The guitar, the bass, the drums, everything was done AI. The band had no involvement. I'm like, dude, when that's where you're going with your argument as to why you hate it, you're a fucking idiot. Plain and simple. You are a fucking idiot who just wants to hate something for no reason. And that's the only reason you could come up with to hate it. And we see that with Kiss fans at the same time. They'll just come up with the most obscure off-the-wall reasons to hate stuff. Hell, we get it on this show. People just make up stupid shit as to why we suck. Okay, if that's what you want to do, you got my blessing. Go waste your life doing that. I just couldn't get over the fucking meltdown on the internet for this. You know, everybody's looking at the video going, that's the worst AI-generated video. I'm like, it's an animated video. It's not like Motley Crue's the first band to ever do an animated video. It's not the first time Motley Crue has done animated videos.
Well, look, not only that, Mike, that seems to be the, I don't know, the video du jour. With just recently, going back to one of my faves again, Deep Purple did a reissue of the Machine Head. Yeah. And that video did very well. They did a video with the new remix by Dweezil Zappa, which is just phenomenal. But they did an animated video for Smoke on the Water. And it tells the story. It works wonderfully. And also, too, it's that little bit of nostalgia. It shows them as they were or would have been had that sort of technology been around in 72.
Just like what, you know... I don't know. It's just like you are looking absolutely ridiculous with what you're trying to come up with for reasons to hate on something. If you don't like Motley Crue, that's fine. If you love it, that's fine. This isn't a case of everybody's got to agree on it. Again, it's fucking music. It's all personal taste. It's 100% personal taste. I don't know, you know, as Tommy, as you and I talked about, maybe it comes with age where you get past that point of wasting your time hating on stuff. Because, yeah, I could remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, if another rock band came out with something that was, quote, challenging Kiss, fuck that band. I hate that band. I can't listen to that band. Quietly, I'd go home and put the album on and wouldn't tell my friends that I'd listen to it because I actually like it. You got to grow out of that, people. You really do. I mean, this is Motley Crue doesn't need you defending them. I've told some fans, I'm like, you understand the amount of anger and reasoning you have here isn't going to change one thing about Motley Crue.
Well, it's not going to.
They're going to keep recording the music they want to keep recording. They're going to keep touring as they want to keep touring, and the demand is going to be there.
So go or don't go.
Go or don't go. Don't spend your money on it. But all of the time you waste in comments, do you think somebody in Motley Crue is going, well, in the first week, the negative comments outweigh the positive comments by 25%. Therefore, we shall scratch the rest of the album because the world says they hate it. You're an idiot again to think that you have any impact on that. They're sitting here going, Motley Crue is the perfect example of love me or hate me. Just get out of the middle. The Motley Crue and Kiss, you can hate them all they want. You want? They don't care. You can love them all you want. They don't care. What they care about are the people who don't care. The people who just won't listen, won't comment, means nothing to them. That's the ones they care about. They want to move those people to one side or the other, love or hate. Love or hate means you've got emotion, you care, you're invested in this, and you're going to listen. Even if you hate it, you're going to listen. So nothing's changing other than the fact you're giving them a whole bunch of free marketing and promotion for the new single. As much as you want to hate Three Sides of the Coin in our interview with J.R. Smalling and rip us to shreds on all these Facebook groups, be our guest. Call us whatever you want to call us, but you gave us free promotion for that episode every single time you said we sucked. And Motley Crue's saying the same thing.
Yeah, and for me, it's just one more vehicle of music, and I'm glad they're producing music, and I want them to tour, and I want them to play because I like going to see them. Same with thing with Buck Cherry. They're going to probably start working on their next record this year, and you know, I just like that they're going to continue to play, continue to tour, and continue to make music. That's all I want. But you know, to Michael's point, I just don't understand the people that just feel the need to sit and bitch about it, because at least from my point of view, when I have walked away from, because I've argued with people on the line before online, and I never walk away feeling any better after everything is said and done, even if I've made a point and I get them so angry they just won't tune in anymore, I still don't feel any better about it. So I just try to walk away from everything now.
I walk away with a departing comment of, hey, I respect your opinion, and that's great.
Well, why don't we do this? This is always fun, I think. What are you listening to right now?
Let me open up my Spotify. What have I been listening to? Okay, I mean, this isn't a new band. I have been re-listening to a lot of the early Bon Jovi because I just watched the Bon Jovi documentary on Hulu, which thumbs up from me. It's an amazing documentary. And I commented to you guys privately, but I applaud John. He comes out and deals head on with his vocal problems. I mean, if anybody remembers when on the last Bon Jovi tour, there was a lot of flack coming out about how bad his performances were.
Did they end the tour early?
I don't think they ended it early. It was just a short run tour. Okay. It wasn't a long, you know, 6 month tour. Okay. But the documentary is interesting in how they filmed it. It's mixture of current Bon Jovi, old Bon Jovi. So they kind of start with John Bon Jovi now talking about the issues he's had. And then they flash back to the birth of the band and they talk, you know, and they talk about everything. I felt like I'm not a Bon Jovi fan at the level I'm a Kiss fan. So I couldn't sit here and go, that was a lie. I didn't, but I respected how they did touch on every topic that to me seemed like a big deal in Bon Jovi, you know, something to the, even to the, not just John's vocal problems, but like, the rest in peace, Alex John Such, the bass player, you know, he didn't play on Runaway. Hugh McDonald was the bass, sort of the behind the scenes bass player and all of the recordings. Like even on, you know, like the New Jersey album, Hugh was the bass player who recorded. He was the ghost musician who played the bass. He's known John since before the band was together. And they talk about that, and they talk about Richie and everything else. But anyway, it just got me reminiscing about, you know, if you were around, Mark, timeline means everything. If you were around when Slippery When Wet exploded, and I'm not saying that was when Bon Jovi first appeared, but that's when he exploded. If you were around in the rock scene, whether you liked him or not, Bon Jovi was everywhere. He could sell out multiple dates anywhere he wanted. He was on the news, he was on MTV, everything. I mean, Bon Jovi was it. And you know, it's not often that there's many bands that reach that level. And to his credit, he's sort of been able to maintain that and even get bigger. I mean, he can still sell out stadium tours. He can still sell out stadiums. But it just had me reminiscing about, you know, what was it like back in the late, remembering what it was like in the late 80s when that was just exploding, you know, and to go along with that, Skid Row was just coming out, and Skid Row opening for Bon Jovi. That was like one of the, you must get a ticket to go see that tour. Skid Row and Bon Jovi.
I remember that.
And so yeah, I've been listening to Slippery When Wet and New Jersey and his earlier stuff. I'm going to be the first one to admit almost all of his recent stuff for the past few decades, got no interest in it. If you love it, it works for you, great. It's just not, it's not the classic Bon Jovi sound that I love. So that's what I've been listening to a lot of. As for new music, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Tommy, when we did the show. The new album by the band Gunn out of the UK.
Boy, they've been around forever.
Again, during the 80s, they had a kind of a one-hit wonder during the 80s. But they've released a number of albums, and Ombre is their new album. And listen, it's the album that I'm like, yeah, I want to just hit that again. Oh, I want to play that one again. I just want to put it on. It's what I went through with Ace Frehley's new album. It's what I'm going through with Gunn. To me personally, that's how I judge if that album is good. If it makes me want to come back and listen a second time, a third time, fourth time, if I got nothing to do and I want to put music on and I want to play that again, that's what's important to me.
Well, I've got a pile to show.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this is the one that'll probably stump most people. I never heard of this, but my brother-in-law gave me his collection of records, and he's older than me. So most of it was stuff from the 70s, Loggins and Messina, Crosby, Stills and Nash, all that sort of thing. But I found this in there, which was a gem. It's called the Wright Brothers Overland Stage Company. And it's like a bluegrass record from 1971. And it's just catchy and just cool. So I've been listening to this a lot from Record Store Day. Buck Cherry 15. Brilliant.
Hold on. Was there anything new on 15 on the Record Store Day one?
No. This is an older, just original copy that I picked up.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, the Japanese has a couple different songs.
I know. I need to get that stuff from you. But with Buck Cherry, though, I listen to some of them so much in my car that I've wrecked them. So it picks new stuff up. So I've been listening to 15. Jim Stafford's greatest hits.
I don't like spiders.
The God is the Snakes, exactly. One of my favorites, Tim by The Replacements from 1983, 84. Love this record. The Capitol Years, Frank Sinatra, 3-disc set.
It's good, just, man.
It's freaking amazing. Yep. And this was $5, guys. $5. It doesn't look like it's ever even been played. I tell you. Queen's Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2. A double Alice Cooper of Dada and Killer.
Wow.
Which is fun.
That weird.
Yeah, and it goes from, you know, from this to this. And it's just cool.
I love both those, right?
REO, High Infidelity. Billy Joel, 52nd Street. It's classic. The Sweets, Greatest Hits. Billy Joel, The Stranger. Patsy Cline's Greatest Hits. And then a double thing of the Talking Heads from 77 all the way through the late 80s of all of their stuff, which is...
What a great variety of music.
Yeah. Beach Boys, Pet Sounds. And last but least... Jimmy Buffett. So, wait a minute. Hold on. And then Janet Jackson, Designer of a Decade. Boston, first record. Blackberry Smoke, Whippoorwill. Cheap Trick, Another World. You hear Georgia by Blackberry Smoke. Buck Cherry, Volume 10. Buck Cherry, Hellbound.
God, I love that record.
Hootie and the Blowfish, first record. And this one, which I found to be very, very cool and very, very eclectic, Don Henley, Cass County. This was from a couple of years ago. A lot of duets on here with different country artists as well as rock artists. Very cool. So I like a good variety of music.
You do. I tell you what, just because you showed the Hootie and a Blowfish thing, have you guys ever done this? I mean, especially your morning zoos when you were growing up, meaning the AM or the morning shows that I'm sure you guys had popular morning shows.
Oh, yeah.
On the radio. I'm sure some of them played parody songs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every time I see or hear Hootie and the Blowfish, I think of the parody song. If you have heard the song, it's a parody song. I've only got a one-inch tool. It goes to, when I come out of the pool, I only got a one-inch tool. Every time I fucking see Hootie, that's what I think of that parody song. It makes that's me funny. Fucking laugh
I love
all
it.
The time.
Way to go, Beavis. He said tool.
But it's funny, you know. It's funny. I just thought, since we're originally going to start with something today, we can maybe hold that on for next week or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we'll hold that for next week.
It's because Tommy, I saw your Facebook post the other day about this is where I kind of wanted to, and then we don't have to go too deep into this discussion, but since End of the Road, okay. Have you found that you are listening to Kiss less? I think I am, not consciously, but before I was always looking forward to the tour,
right,
and stuff. And I think I'm listening less, although much like Tommy, Tommy's seen my music collection. I read thousands and thousands of titles, and I like everything from Sinatra to Zappa, and everything, AC/DC to, all the way through. But when Tommy, I love when you do that, what do you listen to? I've been in a big, Steely Dan is just, and I've always liked them, but just been kind of going deep on that stuff. But then it's funny too, I tend on my iPod, because I'm old and I still use one, and I've got something like ungodly number, like 48,000 songs on it. I've been on my Brian Johnson era AC/DC mix, which I take the best of everything. Although it's funny, because I wouldn't, Back in Black and For Those About to Rock have their own mix. Because I like, those are just such great sister records. But, the last couple of days I've been listening to everything from Rock or Bust all the way back to Flick of the Switch and all points in between. But it's only about a 2.5 hour comp, so it's not everything. I try to just keep the songs I like the most. But it was funny. I was looking on my iPod, and I was like, I got just as many Brian Johnson favorites as I do Bond, because that mix is two plus hours too. Mm-hmm. And then I got to thinking, what band had such a consistent, where, between the two lead singers, I'm looking at over 4 hours of songs that I not just like, I love. That's pretty freaking amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, it's not easy to do. 4 hours specifically. And what I shared today was just this week. This is just the stuff I picked up over the last week or so that I've been listening to, but I've got quite a good record collection going. So I'll start off the day with the Allman Brothers, and I'll end with Van Halen. Who knows? I mix it up all day long between records and CDs. So I'm listening to probably more Kiss now than I had in the past, just because it's at my fingertips, it's in front of my face. And when I'm flipping through the records and the CDs, I'm like, oh, I haven't listened to Dynasty or Rock and Roll Over or whatever in a while, and I'll put it on. And I'm just loving it. I've had so much fun revisiting stuff I haven't listened to in forever, and then also finding new stuff like this. And I know this isn't everybody's jam, but Don Henley is a really amazing, I think, writer and singer. And so it's just fun to hear something different, you know, and just mix it up a little bit. So I'm having a blast.
You know, I when it comes to your question about Kiss, I'm not listening more or less because honestly, I never listened to them a lot. You know, my listening is driven by like current events. It's driven by memories. It's driven by, like, I don't know if you've seen, like, I posted over the last couple of weeks a couple like Billboard charts from like 1980, 1981. And
those are cool.
You know, and it's like, oh, man, look at all the freaking great songs that came out that year. What does that do? It pushes me to go find like a 1981 rock playlist on Spotify where I start listening to that stuff. And then as I'm listening to that, it's like, oh yeah, I come across that tune from REO High Infidelity. And then that sucks me into the whole album because then I remember about how great that album was and you know, the memory that brings back. So yeah, my listening is driven a lot, you know, as I illustrated with Bon Jovi. I probably hadn't listened to a Bon Jovi album for maybe a year at least. And all of a sudden I'm watching the documentary and, you know, I'm getting all nostalgic and memory and it's like, okay, diving in, listening to it. You know, a week from now, probably won't be listening to it ever again, you know, unless something else happens. You know, today, if you're an ELO fan, Jeff Lynne just posted that the Richard Tandy, who was the keyboard player for him, passed away. Wow. So, you know, not that I haven't always listened to ELO, but guess what? It caused me today to dive right into listening to ELO Wembley or Bust. I want to listen to some live ELO. I want to, you know, so my listening habits are driven in that manner, not so much by what bands I like, and I feel like I got to always listen to them. You know, I'm looking through here, like Spotify says, jump back in and listen to what you were just listening to. Like one of them is like this band, McQueen Street, out of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a hair band, and I don't think they're a bit, they're not heavy metal, but they're a much harder, heavier sound than your typical glam warrant. And I think they never got their just due, and it's like, oh yeah, going back in and
a band like that. Remember Damone from the 90s?
Yeah, oh, I love that band.
Oh,
I
my
love
God,
that band.
I know they never got did anything.
And you know, and I've got a playlist on Spotify called Remember These Tunes. It's just a playlist of one-off tunes, maybe a couple tunes that I remember vividly that I just loved. And I'll throw stuff like Damone's in there and other bands are in there. And if I'm listening, you know, and I play that playlist and I just hit it on random, so it's just going all over the place. And if it lands on one of those songs, again, I might sit here and go, God, that was such a great album. And then I'll jump out of the playlist and play the whole album. So that's how my listening is more driven. Occasionally it's new releases. Like I just checked out Humanoid, the new release from Accept. Okay, it's not phenomenal. It doesn't suck. You know, probably we'll get maybe one more listen, but that's about it for me. Yes. But then you also keep in mind, in my day-to-day job, I'm dealing with bands all the time. So I'm having to listen to music for clients. Some of it that I don't want to listen to, some of it that I do. Like I've been just listening to so much more Foghat lately. And not just because they're a client, but it's just like, because
it's God, fucking awesome.
And their new blues record is kicking ass on the charts.
Well yeah, their blues album spent 22 weeks on the Billboard Blues album chart.
Roger,
just now, this week, fell out of the chart. But here's the funny thing. The new album fell out of the chart, but the new live album from New Orleans that was just released debuted at number 2 on the chart.
I got that on records. I still have not had a chance to listen to it yet, though.
And I can tell you guys, honest to God, the band, the manager, everybody is just like, over the moon with this sort of response, because they're like, we've never charted. We've never seen this sort of longevity for anything in 50 years as a band. So, you know, and they're getting great response on radio to the new album. So it's a great album, and I'm listening to it a lot more because of that. You know, I'm still working with Blackie and Wasp, and I'm always doing stuff, and it's like, all right, digging into and listening to Live in the Raw or the Headless Children and stuff like that. Great. So there, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I listen to that's work related, but when it's not work related, again, it's all like the top one, two, three, top eight things on my Spotify that I most recently played. Best of Rock 1981. Live in the Raw, New Jersey, Slippery When Wet, McQueen Street, Jeff Lynne's Wembley or Bust, and then my playlist, Remember These Tunes. I mean, it's kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. Because,
well, you've always had a big, I've always thought you had a huge taste in music of different stuff, and even Mark as well. Mark is more tuned in from my personal perspective of classic stuff, like he loves, you know, obviously Nugent, Deep Purple and all of that, but he also Frank Sinatra and all that other stuff.
Louis Prima.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, my Remember These Tunes, I might go from an Iron Maiden song to Frankie Valli.
You're right.
Nice.
It's just good songs.
And I'm just like, it's because why? Because they're great songs.
Songs, I know.
Those two songs meant something to me, and I, you know, it's like my own, it's my, if you remember or have like Jack FM type radio stations in your town where you live, they're occasionally still around, but they're not as popular because, again, what they were before streaming was like just a random mix playlist of great tunes, which was fun. You could go from Iron Maiden to REO Speedwagon, which normally you wouldn't be able to do in a rock station, but in a random mix, yeah, it's great tunes. Now you can get that all on Spotify. You know, I like the Best of Rock 1981. I mean, it's got Don't Stop Believing, High and Dry, Jesse's Girl, Can't Happen Here, Unchained, Heavy Metal, Rockin' the Paradise, For Those About to Rock, My Kind of Lover. I mean, come on. What a great mix of tunes. And you know, it's all about feeling. You know, I might be listening to My Kind of Lover and go, I remember when that Billy Squire album exploded.
That was huge.
Huge, huge album. And it was more than just one great song on that.
That whole record, you got.
That whole record was a great album. So when I listen to a playlist and it comes across that, I'm just like, oh, God. Yeah, I haven't really gone deep into Billy Squire. You know, that first album, I gotta listen to that. And
that was the
boom.
Second one.
Was it the second one?
Tale of Tapes,
first one. There you go.
You Should Be Hollow.
A lot of people go, well, that's, you know, that's the only Billy Squire album that matters, because anything after that, he wimped out and lost.
Nah, there's some,
you know, if you like stuff. It, you like it. But yeah. Boy, that album was phenomenal.
Tommy, did you see the Bon Jovi thing? Have you watched that yet?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Oh, I believe it or not, I actually watched the first episode. Liz wanted to watch
it. What's it on?
Hulu.
It's on TV.
Well, and I want, you know, I'm going to, I don't have Hulu, and I'm going to have to get it because I really wanted to watch that Lady Bird Johnson documentary that they
do. Do you have Disney Plus?
I don't think so.
Because the Disney Plus and Hulu are now
one
under the same app.
Okay.
And we had Disney Plus, and then we got an offer like, well, why don't you add Hulu to this for just $2 a month?
Right.
Well, fuck yeah. You know, I spend, instead of buying Hulu separately, I'll add it in. And
well, yeah,
honest to God, Hulu's got a lot of great stuff. Not necessarily movies, but if you're looking for TV series.
Oh, Tulsa King.
Hulu's got everything awesome. From a TV series. I mean, I just literally finished binging the entire MASH series on Hulu again.
Oh, it's on Hulu?
Hulu's got the entire MASH
series. Oh, I could watch that all day long. I want a 24-hour mass channel.
Quick side. So this is like the third time I've binged it from episode one to the final episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I binged it where watching it, I all of a sudden was, it wasn't a comedy to me anymore. I was like, oh my God, what deep writing, deep stories, deep.
Oh, it really is.
Oh, this time, everything I was watching it going, wow, this is just heavy shit that they were writing and recording back then. Because I remember as a kid watching, loving MASH, but it was a comedy to me as a kid. It was a comedy. There was nothing serious about it. But now I'm just like, oh my God, war sucks.
Believe it or not, I know nobody in this audience will think this is odd for me. I still have cable. MASH is on at 7 o'clock every night on new TV. So, I watch that then. Look, right now, from now until June, it's nothing but NHL playoffs. That's on every night. I'll watch all the hockey. And then when hockey's over mid-June, then I'll start watching baseball.
Mark, what did you think of the first episode of the Bon Jovi? Because I know Bon Jovi's not necessarily your cup of tea.
We'll put it this way, because I don't like his music in any way, shape, or form. I never have, and that's not a knock on him. It's just I don't get it. It's just not for me. I really respected his work ethic. I respected the hard work and the And I thought some of the early stories, and again, another guy, and I think because, you know, him, put it this way, I jokingly said something to this, although I wasn't joking. A friend of mine asked me, you know, they're like, you got to watch it. It's great. And I did. I watched the first episode. And again, I liked it. It was entertaining. But John looks like Southside Johnny. He doesn't get any farther. I mean, DNA did everything for him. I don't think he's... You know, I just don't like the music. I think he is the quintessential. He's an extremely good looking girl or guy, according to the girls. And that's really what sold. I just never cared for his music. And, you know, but I will tell you, the hard work stuff I thought was cool. I thought the fact that he Bruce Springsteen got up on stage with him, and that's another guy.
Yep.
I like some Bruce Springsteen? Yeah, Rosalita's great song.
I've never. I'm with you on that. I know the songs. I've never got Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, again, but Bruce is somebody I could make a 10 song album. Like what he's probably got 20 hours of original music. I could probably fill an hour and be very content with that stuff.
I've been discovering him as of late, and I love it. I didn't give him a chance when we were in high school because the biggest douchebags liked him. So I'm like, well, he's got to suck if those fucking assholes like him. So I never listened.
Well, I think there's people, because I just made this joke too in a conversation with a friend the other day. We were just talking about, you know, standing your own ground and liking stuff when you were a kid. And I said, and this, again, boy, this is just relates back to the show. The same kids who fucked with me, because I never got me. Again, I was always pretty fortunate that way. But same kids who would fuck with me about being a Kiss fan back in high school are the same guys who wanted me to get tickets for them. You know,
right.
You know, I stood what I liked, and I liked what I liked because I liked it. And again, you know, I'm not saying that Bon Jovi is bad. You know, obviously I'm wrong. Hundreds of millions of records sold prove that. But it just never connected with me. That's all. That whole
and that's totally respectful. I mean, I totally get that, because even though I loved Bon Jovi, I was just like fascinated with the behind the scenes, the story, like, how it happened, how he got there.
What's the song off of the Fahrenheit record? Wasn't it? Because I thought it was a Kiss song. It just sounded so much like a Kiss song to me. Is it Bad? Not Bad. What was the one song he had? I think it was off the Fahrenheit record.
It's not Runaway, is it? Which is
off the debut
album.
I would put it this way. They played the shit out. The local, one of the four rock stations here, obviously was, you know, connected.
Hold on.
To,
I'm opening.
It was the single off that record. Because I remember I thought it sounded like a Kiss record. before he broke huge?
Right.
It would be In and Out of Love.
That's the one.
In and Out of Love.
That to me sounded like Paul Stanley wrote it. I remember back when I heard, no, keep in mind, he was not huge then, but I remember hearing that, and I'm like, and you know, that's kind of a good thing too, because that song I always thought sounded like a Kiss song. I always thought Parental Guidance from Judas Priest sounded like a Kiss song.
Well, did was it in the episode? It may not have been in the episode one. There was a little part when they started to talk about how he was getting ready to go record Slippery When Wet. And he was like, I, you know, I'm looking for a producer. I need somebody to produce. Who do I produce? And he goes, I'm in a hotel room and I'm listening to some of the new music that came out. And he goes, I pull up this new album from this band called Black and Blue. And I just loved production quality on it. I flip it over, produced by Bruce Fairburn in Little Mountain Studio. He gets on the phone, calls up Bruce Fairburn. Bruce Fairburn ends up producing Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet. So you could almost sit here and go, it wasn't for Tommy Thayer, there'd be no Bon Jovi. And I mean, he says that Bon Jovi, basically, I'm flip over that Black and Blue album, and that's where I found the producer.
Cool. That's a great story.
That's a very, you know, and it's got to make somebody like Tommy feel good going, okay. But at the same time, how come our album that he loved didn't explode? He basically stole our producer and our sound and made millions off of it. But anyway, you know, I would say, if you watch the Bon Jovi documentary, leave your musical tastes at the door. Watch it for the learning through somebody else. I mean, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, of course, but how this guy put together his band. You know, he didn't have a band. When Runaway was recorded, there was no band.
Right.
He got a record deal with no band. He had to put a band together for the record deal. How he went out and found the band. How, you know, how much Bruce Springsteen admired John Bon Jovi,
yeah,
which was kind of news to me.
You cannot you could not but love the hard work that he put into it and not admire the man for his convictions and hard work. I'm a huge fan of that, of anything. I don't care if it's a construction company or a musician. You go out there and you pull your weight, man. I love that. I thought it was a great American dream sort of story. And again, as somebody who doesn't like any of his music or hardly any of, I enjoyed it. I'm probably not probably, I will watch the second.
There's four episodes. If you watch it, I mean, there's a quick mention of Bon Jovi touring Europe with Kiss. There's a lot of Doc McGee in here about Doc McGee's involvement. There's a lot about the Moscow Music Peace Festival. You know, it definitely
did
gets
they
into...
get into the Motley thing with that? How the
no?
Oh, there was a missed opportunity then. Boy, that was.
But you know, I won't spill the beans. But according to what was revealed in the documentary, that's not what caused John to fire Doc. That had nothing to do with it.
Was Danny in it much?
I think I saw Danny in the background. Got to keep in mind, Danny that you recognize today isn't what you would see,
right,
40 years ago.
Right. But for
much
those
younger
of you
guy.
Know, for those of you who don't know, you know, you if you know Danny from the Kiss tours over the last 20 years,
Danny's
the head of security. Yeah,
but he was John's right hand man, and if you read Danny's book, he was heartbroken. I mean, crushed when John let him go.
Yeah.
And anyways, guys, I got to run. I got dinner to eat here. So
anyway, so there you go. There's a random grab bag.
That's damn straight.
Is it KFC and playoff hockey?
There you go.
We actually had a, I think, which would have been a fun topic. We'll pull this up for next week. Just think of Google search. That's what we're going to talk about next week.
Instead, we just gave you random bullshit today. So
yeah, today was just us. Yeah. People like this. I mean, I've heard, I don't know about you guys, but I've heard from a number of people who are like, are you ever going to go back to talking about the music you're listening to this week? I loved your recommendations. So there's your homework, or there's your episode homework for this week. What are you listening to this week? Yeah. Old classics, new releases, non-metal, non-Kiss. Share what you're listening to. And what do you think of the Motley Crue single? We are not going to let this get into a pissing match.
No.
What do you honestly think? And did you watch the Bon Jovi documentary? What do you think of that as well?
And if you guys, if we're friends on Facebook or you follow me on Facebook, I'm doing two or three or four times a week what's on your turntable. So please get involved and engage, because it's been great conversation. I'll put up a record of what I'm listening to, and then other people will comment on that record, but they'll also put up pictures of what they're listening to today. And it gives you great ideas of songs or albums you may not be aware of or haven't listened to in forever. So it's a great little community thing that I got started, and I'd love for you to join in.
And one more homework related to our very first topic. What do you think of the of Ace Frehley's new set list? Should he keep playing Kiss songs like Rock and Roll All Night and Love Gun and Shout It Out Loud? I mean, not that our opinion is going to change anything, but, you know, is that what you want to hear Ace do when he does a solo show? All right, that's it. Three Sides of the Coin. We're out of here. We'll see everybody next week.
You have something to say? Leave a voicemail or send us a text message. Call 320-515-4771. Sides of the Coin, provided by LarryDavisVoice.com and by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.